Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.
I am so excited to dive into the subject. And all I'm going to say is corporate gangsters. Now, Rabia is a qualified executive and management coach through the University of Cape Town and has coached corporate executives, athletes, students, teachers, and even housewives. She also has a digital marketing qualification through UCT, as well as a qualified paralegal through the South African Law School. She has her own company called Corporate Gangsters and has her own YouTube channel called Telling It Like It Is. She has recently also become an author and is launching a new book entitled You're Welcome, Man. Mankind, life as a corporate gangster. Rabia, I am so excited to chat to you about corporate gangsters. How are you, first of all?
Firstly, I'm excited. A bit overwhelmed, but so far, so good.
Good. And your book is called Corporate Gangsters. Why that specific title?
Well, firstly, I grew up in the ghetto.
Okay, tell me about that.
That is a story on its own. So essentially, when you grow up in the ghetto, you grow up around all these small gangs and also those gangs that are affiliated with other gangs and so forth. And you see a lot of things that you're not supposed to see, you know? Mm. And then as I essentially grew up and went to work, I realized that the corporate world is really not all that different,
mm-mm,
right? So you got there's so many similarities. Their rankings. Everybody has their hierarchies.
Hierarchy, yes.
Exactly.
Ranking, title.
Exactly. So it's not, besides the ranking, they also share similar belief systems. So they recruit as same as a corporate company.
Mm, yes.
So they won't hire someone that doesn't fit into their little group. Do you know what I mean?
I hear you.
To a gang. And also, for example, if you're not performing in your job, there's consequences as well as a gang. However, that's more fatal.
That's something a little different.
Yes. So I thought about it and then, you know, corporate gangster popped together because I did both. I come from both backgrounds. So it's quite weird how it just popped up.
Yeah, well, we're going to dive into that soon. What type of book have you written, though? Is it a guideline? Is it tips and tricks of the corporate world? Or is it a book of your experience as an individual in the corporate space?
Well, I would say it's a bit of all three.
Mm.
So the guide is, I've noticed that regardless if you're a CEO or if you're a cleaner, we all share one common thing, and that is we face difficulty every single day. It doesn't matter how big or small it might be, because your problems might not seem big to me, and my problems might not seem big to you, but to ourselves, it's big. Mm. So we have challenges that we face every single day. So it guides people step by step as how to navigate their lives, make positive changes. The thing that I hate is when people tell you you need to change those bad habits, and because of society deems it fit.
Okay.
What the book generally does is it takes you and then it builds on you.
I don't
want to change anybody, because you're, imagine we change who we are. We're all going to be one person. It's very boring. So
we don't want that kind of life.
Exactly. And it takes all kinds to make a world. So I was essentially trying to, whatever you as an individual want to change or work on, that's the guide you can use. It takes the business techniques and tips. And we then, what we did was we made it chewable, you know, in small little chunks.
Digestible.
Yes, because people tend to, these CEOs and managers tend to use these massive words that nobody understands. You're just sitting there nodding your head like a crazy person. So I took those principles, broke it down, and then simplified it for anyone to read. And then also I used my experiences as examples as to how people can actually start to incorporate immediately after reading it, because I feel that you make it more relatable to people. So if I'm reading the book am I going to understand it? Will I be able to implement immediately? Or am I going to have to firstly do a whole 30-day challenge before I can accomplish anything? So it's a bit of all three.
It's a little bit of all three. Now, how did you conduct your research for this book? Because, of course, you have to have your sources, your research. It can't be a, well, this is what I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So, as you know, I've got a executive management coaching. And there was a community radio station. I did a bit of that there. And essentially, like I said, UCT came from that background. Mm. Also, with that being said, I then started coaching groups as well as individuals in management and executive levels. So I realized that their problems is not as, it's not big.
Mm.
It's your usual person, average person walking on the street type of problem. It might not be I can't afford bread or whatever that the case may be, but they're similar in family, work life, politics, religious beliefs, those types of things. We all go through that. So it's not really different. So what I did was I realized that the principles are the same.
Mm.
So I used those principles, and then the community started asking me if I could coach certain individuals, and I agreed to it. And then it seemed like it worked both ways.
Mm.
And then I also started implementing it in my own life, and I was like, okay,
this might be
onto something here.
Yeah, there
so
we go.
It's the same principles I've learned in while studying, but it's just simpler.
Broken down and simpler.
Yes, exactly.
I see. Now, out of everything you've touched on in this book, what was the most interesting to research on for you? Like, what did you enjoy writing about?
Well, I would say that there's like four of them.
Tell me.
The first one is leadership. Now, when I wrote this, I had, you know, that one boss in whatever job you've done throughout your life, you have that one boss that you look at and you just want to, you know, throttle, because you're telling me how to do my job. However, you don't even know how to do my job.
Yeah, yes, so, okay.
And also, he probably doesn't know how to do his job. So you never know. And I was writing it from that perspective. And I thought to myself, what would I say on behalf of everyone else that had one of those bosses, if we had to say it, you know, to the face.
To the face.
And I let loose.
So, and you just let us know how you felt.
Exactly. And then there's also, I've taken into consideration that there's good leaders out there.
Mm.
There's some great leaders out there. And sometimes you find leaders that are not in leadership positions, but they have the strength. So I thank them on behalf of everyone as well.
Mm.
So it took me back and forth to from where I started, crappy bosses, and to where I'm now, my own boss. So I'm essentially, because I know how difficult it is when it comes to that boss you have to see on a Monday morning and you don't really like him or her, and you're like, do I even want to go to work? To the point where I now work for myself, and the people that work for me are not going to go through that, because I wouldn't want it done to me.
Mm.
So that was the one. And then the mindset. So the whole thing about mindset is more, are you a glass half full? Are you a glass half empty type of person? Neither one is wrong, right?
Mm.
So it's not, the book doesn't work on who's right and who's wrong. It's more of how we, not change, but whatever thing you want to work on, if you want a positive outlook on life, if you want to be an optimist, realist, doesn't really matter what you are, you can work on it.
Mm.
Also, if you don't want to work on it, it's also up to you. What my company does, though, is we run seminars. It's called Building a Winning Mindset. So with that, those seminars that we run, is we help you to see what you need to work on. We provide you with techniques. Essentially, these techniques are simple things that you can actually just incorporate right now. I've used these seminars to test before I actually started running them myself. So my husband works in HR. So I told him, use this, right, and see what it does. So they started small. He used it on his team. Then they asked him to do it on the executives' teams. And then they asked him to do the entire company. So to me, in my mind, at that point, okay, it works. So cool.
If the concept works, let's see what we can do with this.
Exactly. And this is a seminar I took to schools. And they always, when they see me outside, it worked. I'm still doing it. It's amazing. I just like the fact that it helps. With that being said, the other thing that I really liked was the personality colors. Now, I'm sure you've read the book.
Yes.
I'm a red. So I'm red and a bit of blue. So everything needs to be like that. It needs to be planned out.
In order.
Control freak. My husband calls me a control freak. I want to control every aspect of the business because I need it to run flawlessly. But I know I can become a bit much. So it made me see, I wouldn't call it flaws. It made me see from the third party perspective looking in, and helped me to not change but adjust those personality traits that I don't like. It's not about what other people don't like, it's what I want to work on and change because I don't like the trait that I have. So those things were, it was one of the, well, the three things that I enjoyed writing because I learned more about me. When I take it to other people, they also learn about themselves. So the first thing people do when they read that book, they'll know, okay, am I this color? Am I that color?
What am I?
Which am I? And with those four colors right now, obviously, there's other companies also use these things. They call it, I think it's a disc. But with that, nobody is the you have two colors, each person. First, your primary color and a dash of your secondary color, but you can also be all four at the same time, depending on the situation you're in.
It all depends on context.
Correct. So when things get tough, and you need to revert back to something, you will always go back to your primary color. So like defense mode type of thing. So when I'm pushed into a corner, I go to my red, right? And then it's a whole show.
So better watch out.
Exactly. And then the other thing that the personality colors do is they teach you the opposite. So you know those people you just can't understand why you can't get along with them?
So I know.
It's the opposite color of you. So then in the book, we go into which color is opposite to which and how you can then
navigate and sort of get along.
Sure.
In a sense.
You can try. Yes. To be fair, like my parents, very different to me. Very soft. Me, I don't know where the domineering thing came from. But it was a struggle between the two. Now that I know that I've done the research on personality colors, I understand them better as well as myself. So now we can, it's breezy now, it's great now.
Yes.
Because that understanding is there. And I know now how to function with those particular traits. And then the last thing was the goals, how to navigate reaching your goals. Because in the book, I'll tell you that no matter what, and trust me when I say I've been in situations where the dream was to be a boss, right?
Mm.
And then the situation I found myself in was homeless.
Oh.
So to go from homeless and still have the dream of running my own business, it seems a bit impossible, but it's really not.
Mm.
If you allow yourself to believe, you need to believe in what you are and what you want to do. And if you really want it, you can go for it. I'm living proof. I've been homeless 3 times, if not more. So there's a lot to say when it comes to... My husband asked me why I didn't write a book about my life. So that will come.
That will come. But
this is much needed.
Mm.
In my opinion, that's just my opinion.
And I think it's beautiful that you're able to be a representation and to show people that you've come from having no home, yes, nothing, to having so much now. And yes, it is possible if you change your mindset.
Correct.
That's basically what you're trying to say.
Yes. But that only happened in my 30s. So.
Yeah. Like you said, your 20s were life lessons.
Correct. Now,
and I'm sure that is kind of like the message of your book as well. Mm. Now, as a woman, what has been the most challenging experience or part of being in the corporate space, perhaps in a male-dominated industry? What was the most challenging for you? And also, do you feel like the evolution of women in the corporate space has transitioned well? Mm. Or do you find that some women still have challenges within their industries?
So... two-part question. I'm going to choose the latter first, and then I'll answer the other one because it's a very funny story. So, in today's corporate life, yes, I agree, and there have been things. There have been big changes, right? Mm. There's progress for women. But there's so much more to do, right? Mm. There's this thing that majority companies are working on at this moment in time, and it's called the diversity and inclusion policies. So a lot of companies are focusing on that so that they can try and get everyone to be treated equally, right? So... yes, we've come very far as women, but there's a lot more work to be done. I was looking at statistics, and in healthcare, all women is 59.8% of women in the healthcare industry. Mm. However, 45.2% are in leadership roles, right? And then your government, your education, nonprofits is 52.7% females, and then in leadership roles are 46.3%.
So it's lower, and that is quite shocking.
To be fair, it's actually it's good because before it was much lower than that. So if you look at industries like manufacturing and the industrial industry, it's only 28.8% women, and only 19% of them are in leadership roles. So it goes even lower than that. So yes, we've made progress. However, there's a lot more to be done.
Mm.
And luckily for us, this diversity and inclusion policies are helping us along. Also, South Africa's laws with the BEE thing,
yes,
that's also helping us. So far, so good. But... We need to push.
A lot more work needs to be done.
Correct.
And not only one industry, I think all industries.
All industries. Amazingly enough, Netflix has 51% of females working for them. So,
well, women love to, we visualize, we're visual human beings, I would say. It kind of works for us. It's quite fitting. But lastly, Rabia, I want to know, where can we find your book so that we can get hold of this, find out our color, find out a little bit more about the tips and tricks, and also, like you said, how to navigate, you know, your life and all the situations that you're in. I like that you said, I'm not here to change you. I'm not here to change who you are as a person. I think what you're trying to say is I'm here to give you a couple of tips and tricks of the trade to make the best version of yourself.
That is exactly. That's actually my
your tagline.
Yes. Because the thing is, when it comes to people and struggling, I know that. Mm. I understand it. I'm not only seen it, I've lived it. Mm. There was a time in my life where coffee was the only thing that was there, right? So I know what it's like to have nothing. I know what it's like to have and be very grateful for those things. My book will be launched on the 9th of August to coincide with Women's Day.
Beautiful.
That will be on Amazon. Pre-orders are, well, up now, it's open now via my email address.
Okay.
And yeah, we can order hard copies, but the book will only be launched on Amazon on the 9th of August.
Perfect. And where can we find more information? Perhaps your website or social media?
Social media, yes. We're working on my website. Mm. I want it to be perfect.
Of course, of course.
You can find me on Rabia Masters Toya on the on LinkedIn and on Facebook.
Perfect.
Yeah. I'm not an Instagram person. It's too many photos.
Rabia, thank you so much for chatting to us a little bit more about corporate gangsters. And I'm wishing you nothing but the best.
Thank you so much.
This is not going to be your first book.
No, I've got two other books that I'm currently brainstorming. One of which is navigating the landmines of corporate politics.
Ooh.
Yes. And then also the other one is the difference between generations, millennials, Gen Zs.
Ooh, that's going to be interesting.
Yes. So we know how we, like, millennials think when it comes to corporate, and that now we've got Gen Zs that want to work 3 days a week. Do you know? So I want to know what's actually happening there and then pop it into a book.
Okay. Well, that is a conversation for another day. Chris. Rabia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.